there's more than one way of handling our pressure situation. There's more than one way. Anybody under here in any kind of under pressure in here? Anybody? You know of it? Amen. Amen. So this message today is going to be a blessing to you, because we want to talk about taking the initiative on how to develop a strategy of how to better handle the pressures of life. Not just live under them. How do I move forward from this day, on this day? Am I right about it? Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we come before your presence in Jesus' name just to say thank you. We thank you, God, for giving us, allowing us another precious day. The days are precious. Time is running short. Lord, is shorter than we had yesterday. Before you know it, our lives will be over. But we want to impact and have a meaningful presence while we're still here. We want to leave a legacy that is meaningful to our loved ones, to our children, to our grandchildren. We have to be able to pass on our faith. That's another sermon. How do you do that? We need to be able to pass our faith on to our children. Amen. We need to deposit some things in our young people today that will change their behavior, change their minds. They just are not birthed into acting crazy. Yeah, we're sinners, but not birthed into acting crazy. They need the right guidance from home. Amen, somebody. So, Lord, we give this message over to you. These your people. Convict, convince, and convert. You get glory, praise, and honor to yourself. And we promise ahead of time to give you back all the glory, all the honor that you deserve. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. With thanksgiving always, let all of God's people say amen and amen. John chapter 16, verse 33. I'm reading from two translations. The first translation will be the Amplified translation. John chapter 16, verse 33. You could be reading King James, New King James, NIV. I'm reading this first one, Amplified, because it amplifies what I'm trying to say to you. John 16:33, Amplified translation says, I have told you these things so that in me, Jesus, you may have perfect peace. You could preach on that, perfect peace. You may have perfect peace. In the world, you have tribulation and distress and suffering. But, consecrated conjunction, be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy in spite of all the stuff you're going through. I have overcome the world, the Lord says. My conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. That's all of that in that verse. You read the New King James and King James. That's what it was saying. If you break it down, if you extend it. The New Living Translation of John 16:33 says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have trials. I don't know how. You will have trials and sorrows while you live it. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. I want to talk again around the thought, the subject, how to handle the pressures of life. How to take the initiative. How to stop submitting and cowering under your circumstances. There's some things that God has given you and me to do. We don't have to be bent down and, oh, no, no. Take the initiative. Stand and be counted. Stop surrendering to your stuff that's going on, to your pain and suffering. Stop giving in to the devil. Understand, when we talk about this handling the pressure specifically, we're talking about the remedy, the application, the strategy for relief. You ever get tired of being bullied?
Yeah.
When y'all was young, didn't you get tired of being bullied by somebody? Anybody ever got bullied? Oh, y'all was that bad. See, bullied. Well, the devil wants to bully you this morning. Out there, he wants to bully you by allowing circumstances that seem to be unbearable on you. But the Bible says, great is he that's in you. You got to start with that. Great is he that's in me than the stuff that's going on around me. Y'all don't want to hear it. You got to believe that. You just don't hear it one ear and out. You got to believe it. You got to take it by the grip it. Take hold of it. Embrace it. No matter how I feel defeated, but God said, I'm not defeated. He went ahead of us and already won the battle. We just going through. Oh, y'all ain't here. The battle is already won. Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. Shout now. Shout now. Oh, I'm waiting till my breakthrough comes and then I got an extra shout. No, I got an extra shout while I'm waiting for the breakthrough because I know it's coming. Amen, somebody. We know that tribulation is coming. The Bible says so. It's not like it ambushed you. Amen. And the more I've been talking about pressure, can I drop this? The more pressure I've been under. Remember I told you last week I had pressure? Well, it didn't stop. Oh my God. It got worse. I told you last week I had 3 days of pressure. Well, the enemy said, Lord, I bet you if I get some more pressure, I'll break it. But I'm so glad that God didn't allow me. No, with pressure comes more driving me to him. You thought you were going to shut down. You think I'm crazy now. I'm going to be even more crazy because I'm going to praise him in spite of. Even when I don't understand. Even when you're beating down on me. Amen. You want to quiet me up. The way to do it is not to beat me down because I'm going to reach out for my help. My help comes from the Lord. I said last week we picked up. And we're going to pick up again this, or move again from this week. The importance of, here we go, setting boundaries. Some of y'all took notes. We talked about it. We left off last week about how important it is to set boundaries in order to handle the pressures of life. Somebody better listen even now. You need to set some boundaries if you're going to really have an effective impact on what the troubles or the troubles that you're facing or your family is facing. Amen. And sometimes, I hate to say, well, I'm gonna tell you the truth. Your family can be more of the negative problem. Thank you. I had a witness. Sometimes your family can be your worst nightmare. Don't have to go outside. Amen. Sometimes your family can be your pressure point. Your igniter. Sometimes the people that you say you love and love you the most can trigger. You were doing fine till your family member called and came in. Before you got a call from him or her, you better screen them calls. Tell them you were asleep. The pastor, you tell them, no, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not able to take this right now. My mother-in-law, years ago, I went to my wife's here, my mother-in-law, I loved her. But she would tell every now and then of people in family that would try to call her, that would call and try to change her perspective on salvation. And she didn't want to hear it and she didn't adhere to it. She stood her ground at 95. I know that my Savior, Jesus is my Redeemer. I know that he died for my sin. I know that he saved me. I know that if I call on his name, he'll come and rescue me. I know that when I leave from this place, I'm going to be with him. I know that I know that I know that I know. Do you know this morning? Talking about how to handle your pressure. You got to speak victory into your spirit. Stop letting your stuff in your life going to dictate to you. Am I right about it? Boundaries are the limits we set for ourselves in order to protect our physical, emotional, and mental health. Every one of us from the pulpit to the door, ceiling to the floor, has to deal with mental health issues. Oh, come on. Now, you think they're just in that place downtown or on the city line somewhere? We got mental health issues in our homes. Y'all, why y'all keep calling Uncle So-and-so crazy? He got a mental health issue. Why you keep calling her Auntie Nuts? She got a mental issue, health issue. Why do you, come on, why do you do some stuff that you dare not share with nobody? You know why? You got a mental health issue. Y'all say I'm picking on you. Why does Pastor Pointer from time to time have to look in the mirror and say, you a piece of work? I got a mental health issue sometimes. Anybody other than me have mental health issues? I didn't say you nuts or crazy. You got a mental health issue. Amen. We try to get deep. Mental health issues. Don't let nothing look. Y'all look at me. Y'all looking at other people. I ain't tell you gonna start trouble. You looking at other people like she got. No, look at me. Out there, look at me. Don't look at your husband or wife. Or look at your children. Even though it might be true, look at me. Boundaries. Am I doing all right? Y'all gonna give me a few minutes? Boundaries help us to become more secure and in control of what's going on. See, in control of our situations by the grace of God. And boundaries, healthy boundaries. Wait a minute, you threw that. There is a difference between healthy and unhealthy boundaries. Don't miss that word healthy. See, having healthy boundaries is what needs to be in place. Not just a boundary, but you got, what kind of boundary is it? See, a healthy boundary is what otherwise is known as self-care. How you gonna take care of somebody else and you haven't taken care of yourself? How you gonna give somebody else advice and you don't practice what you preach or preach what you practice? I didn't say, no, y'all looking at me here. I'm talking about outside. People always got what they want to tell everybody else, and the very thing you tell somebody else, you're deficient in. Amen. You know I'm a counselor. Yeah, I'm a pastor, counselor. But there's some things that I can counsel and tell other people from the Word of God that I'm still dealing with. All I'm doing is giving them truth. But the Holy Spirit will say the very same thing you're giving them practical advice about how to deal with it. You need to practice what you preach or teach it. That's why, listen, when I preach on the pulpit, the easier thing for me to do would be just to be easy. You know, don't say too much. Because the devil say, yeah, he's talking all that. God, I bet you if I put it on him, he'll cower. No, God says, I'm believing that Pastor Pointer has enough trust in me that he won't allow you to just bombard him with all of those negatives and create problems in his life. Some of us are just we garbage pails, for lack of a better. You let everybody dump on you. Bad news. I know I'm talking right. Some of us are just a glutton for punishment. When people want to dump their trash, they call up to you and say, girl, man, guess what I found out? Guess what I, here we go, mister. Guess what I heard? And then they dump trash and you say, no. What? You become a disposal, garbage, garbage. God says you ought not be that. You ought not be the one that they want to dump their trash on so easily. I know who I need to get. Call your number before they call 10 others. That's not good. We need healthy boundaries. Am I right about it? See, healthy boundaries are, listen, bi-directional. Healthy boundaries are bi-directional. In other words, they function in two directions. See, the bi-directional boundaries are helpful, listen, in reducing problems in your relationship. Anybody, let's put it this way, ever had problems in your relationships with other people? You could be married, you could be single. Anybody ever have problems in relationships? You know, see, but bi-directional boundaries are key. It's very helpful in reducing those problems. See, bi-directional boundaries involve, here we go, letting another person know what your wants and needs are in a relationship. You let them know. But at the same time, you respect what they say their wants and needs are. Oh, man. It's not just a one-way thing. Just like people can't accept where you're coming from, you've got to accept sometimes where other people are coming from, even if they're wrong. But that's where they are. That's particularly important when you're dealing with narcissists. Narcissists or narcissistic people. You know, narcissists has to do with a personality type disorder in which a person has an inflated sense of self-importance. We got people in government like that right now. They think they all that. I ain't gonna name no names. They think they all that. Everything is about me and mine. What I do, I'm the greatest. Hitler used to say that. I'm the only one that can make it right. Hitler used to say that. Killed all the millions of people, but at the end, he died. He had to give an account. Don't get all bent out of shape, Pastor Point or whoever else, when you hear these people in high, or who's going to win, who's going to lose, all that. God's got it already paid.
That's right, that's right.
God already knows. That's right. And if he allows one thing, it's not because he is putting his hand of approval on it. He's saying, I'm going to use him, her, or the other to teach you a lesson because you won't do right. Oh my God. Somebody, no, God is not being mean. He's giving us what we ask for sometimes. You want to have it your way. God says, I've been trying to tell you your way is the wrong way. So God says, since you insist, let me give it to you your way. And you'll find out how much more painful it is. How much more pressure you're going to have to deal with by trying to force your way rather than God's way. Narcissist, a type of individual, a person who will create stress and put undesirable pressure, more pressure on a situation than it has to be. Stop telling everybody your business.
That's right.
Y'all ain't gonna help me.
That's right.
Stop telling everybody. I tell everybody your business, your neighbors, your co-workers. Yeah. You can't even tell your husband and wife everything. Elder, I'm going to sit down now. I'm in trouble. I'm not holding secrets, but because they're not able to give me the right advice, I don't want to, because the advice they might give me might start a fight. Y'all ain't going to help me. So rather than start a fight, look, you got to be careful who you talk to in the church. Y'all looking at me funny. Stop talking about we all holy and say, yeah. You can't tell all your business. Sister Mary, I know you don't do it. Don't tell all your business. Some things got to be job between you and the Lord. If Pastor Point is your issue, put me on God's list. Don't come messing with me, because I might not be far ahead as you think, and you're talking about you're going to slap me. Don't do that. Y'all missed it. Narcissists are notorious for drama. They love drama. I'm already into politics. They love drama. Put me on TV. I was telling my wife, I was looking at a a show about a former, a gangster from New York. I forgot his name already. Gotti. Anybody ever heard of John Gotti? Notorious murderer, killer, liar. and he was called the Teflon Don. They had charges on him, but he never got caught on them. And he began to, and they said they was trying to look. The Teflon, he had all of these charges, but they couldn't never nail him down. Where they heard him talking, that wasn't good enough. Where they got papers on him, it wasn't good enough. But they had to get somebody close to him.
Yeah.
To snitch on him.
Yeah.
That's how they nailed him down. Yeah. He wound up going to jail finally, then he died in jail.
Yeah.
We got people like that in our government.
Yeah.
And people keep saying, why is this going on? Because God says this is the way it has to go on. God is not doing it because giving it or allowing it because he don't have nothing better to do. We have put it on ourselves. Amen, somebody. We getting quiet. Well, if God says he loves me, why does he allow this stuff? Well, you say you love your family. Why do you do some stuff? When you are dealing with a narcissist, give me a few minutes. You have to be assertive with your boundaries and make it clear to him or her what those boundaries or off limits are.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
See, if you are not okay with something they want you to do, the narcissist, tell them up front.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that. Stop playing around. I'm not going to go with that. Don't let the narcissist, don't let them pressure you into doing something you don't want to do. Hello, somebody. Healthy boundaries are about valuing your personal boundaries and not compromising them to somebody else. Saying no and accepting when others say no back to you. I'm not going to argue with you because you don't agree with me. That's where you are. Here's where I am. Hello, somebody. Healthy boundaries means setting a healthy boundary means knowing that your needs and feelings are just as important as the other person. Am I right about it? Knowing that you have the right to your emotions and feelings. Stop telling me, and I had to be guilty. Stop telling me how I feel. Even if I'm feeling wrong, this is how I feel. But then you know the Bible says you can't be directed and governed exactly or exclusively by how you feel. You've got to be governed. I've got to go by what the Bible, what the Word of God says in spite of how I feel. But I can't allow you to keep bothering. Pray for me that God will show me healthy boundaries, respecting other people. But then there are unhealthy boundaries is when you don't establish limitations. You let people run all over you. Or you extend limitations. You keep letting them get by with this rather than telling them, no, it's wrong. I'm not going to go with this. Instead of telling people all the time, no, you're wrong, tell them, you know, this conversation is making me feel uncomfortable. Me, put it on you because they already think you're attacking them. Say, this argument, we continue to argue, it's making me feel uncomfortable. Me. Not that you are, but me. You're bothering me. Oh, it's bothering him. Yeah. What you're doing is bothering me. So they won't say you're picking on them. I mean, y'all don't want, y'all said I should be teaching this in Bible study. Well, not enough people come to Bible study, so I've got to get, it's in the Word anyhow. Am I right? Unhealthy boundaries involve a disregard for your own and other people's values, wants, and needs. And unhealthy boundaries, when you don't set things straight and in order, can lead to abuse or disrespect in a relationship. Nobody wants to be disrespected. Am I right about it? You don't want to be disrespected. You don't want to be, boundaries play an important role, more so than you think, in reducing stress because they are a form of self-care. And stop talking about, I give up, I'm just going to let them do. No. God put you in a place to stop letting him or her do just what they want to do. God put you in that place so that you can impact or help them to change their behavior. And sometimes you can't force somebody to change by twisting their arm. You've got to do the right thing. That'll cause them to change. If I want to be with you, then I've got to go where you're going in order to, oh my God, in order to be with you. If I want to look, I'm going to church whether you go there or not. Oh, y'all ain't going to hear me. I'm going there. Well, we can have breakfast. No, we're going to still have breakfast, but I'm going to church first. I can give God an hour. Can't you give God an hour after he's given you all those hours? You mean, I bet you're going to get up and go to work tomorrow. Earlier than this. Earlier than this. I bet you won't leave out for work at 10:30. Y'all ain't going to help me. You got all the energy to do your thing. And sometimes God puts us in relationships just for that very fact. For us to help one another. Am I right about it? Self-care. Paying attention to your needs is self-care. As I move on, I'm almost done. Self-care, when you're looking out for yourself, it's not selfish care, it's self-care. Self-care is like putting on an oxygen mask when the pressure is not right in a plane. What do they do when you get ready to take off? They tell you, they put the, look at me, and they got the mask. You put, how many people flew lately? Don't they tell you how to put on the mask just in case of an emergency? They do that for a reason. Because they used to say, you trying to help the child or person next to you, you don't have yours on. How you going to help somebody near you, your child, your grandchild, your mother, your father, if you don't have your oxygen mask on? You won't have the energy to help other people if you don't apply it to yourself first. Am I right about it? As I hasten to a close, sometimes boundaries are necessary in order to cut certain people out of your life or disconnecting close or intimate relationships. Sometimes we have to disconnect. I didn't say not speak to them if they hello or not, but I got to disconnect with relational intimacy. I've got to love you from a distance. Amen, somebody. You say, I haven't spoken to my brother, my uncle, my mother, my sister in 5 years. That's shameful, but there's a reason for it. Amen. It could be you or the other person or a combination. But the more you submit to God, you'll find out what you need to do. Am I right about it? Who is God talking to this morning? I said the Bible has examples, and I'm hastening to a close. The Bible has examples of what healthy boundaries are and what they look like. The first thing that comes to mind is when Jesus told his disciples to go out into the world and preach the gospel to everyone. Y'all remember Matthew 28, come on, 19 and 20? It says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then verse 20 says, teach these new disciples to listen, obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But you also have to remember, Jesus also let his disciples know when it was necessary to set a boundary or to draw the line. You remember the instruction he said, if they go to a town and the people do not welcome them in, then they were to shake the dust off their feet and move on. That's setting a boundary. If you're trying to preach, pastor, and they won't listen, don't get bogged down with that. Preach the word in season, out of season. Preach it whether they want to hear it or not. But don't let them keep you from doing what I called you to do. Preach the word. Matthew chapter 10 verse 14 jotted down says, if any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave or exit. Jesus said he had to set boundaries. Hello, somebody. Can I give you one more? Paul said to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's a boundary, y'all. The Bible says, what you doing with that man, that joker, that woman? She nice, she sweet, she make a lot of money. But is she saved? Oh, I lost some of y'all already. She's sweet, she's fine. She all of it, a brick. What is she saying? Oh, that joker, he got plenty of money. He's an executive. He drives fine cars. Oh, man, he got plenty of money. I'm his honey. And other. Is he saved? Y'all got mad. Y'all getting mad with me. Boundaries. You're looking for a man or woman. Is he or she safe? You got to set boundaries, because if you don't, you're going to get hooked up, and then you're going to have a whole lot of pressure. And the man might not even allow you to go to church. He's going to take you to the moon first, but you ain't going to church. You ain't going somewhere where you can change and be transformed and not act like he wants you to shake your booty. But that ain't the way you go no more. Y'all looking at me funny. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm talking what the Bible says. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What you jacked up and hooked up with him or her for? And what communion, fellowship, has light with darkness? Understand, I'm trying to finish this thing. Lord, I am going to finish it. It's okay for a Christian to be friends. I said, listen, it is okay to be friends with an unbeliever. And even to love some of them. I'm talking about your co-workers, your neighbors, your biological family members. You can love them, but you can't let them cause you to compromise your faith. Y'all didn't hear that. I heard you. Where's he going with that? No, I love you, but you ain't going to change my faith. I love you, but you're not going to stop me from going to church. I love you. You're not going to stop me from serving the Lord. I love you. You're not going to stop me from tithing to my church. I love you. You're not going to stop me from loving my church members. I love you. No, you ain't going to stop me from loving the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to stop me from calling on the name that's above every other name. Because I heard with that name there's power. There's mercy. There's deliverance. There's healing. Am I right about it? We've got to understand, Jesus said, and y'all got to come to Bible study. It says in the word that we ought not be around or allow the world to cause us to compromise our faith. John 17:16-19, Jesus prayed to his Father concerning his disciples, and I'm getting ready to close. It says, they are not of the world. God's people, true disciples. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus prayed, sanctify them. Does that sound familiar to anybody coming to Bible study? We're talking about sanctification. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, set apart, that they also may be set apart, sanctified by the truth. I'm closing, but remember, the Bible says we're in the world, not of the world. There's no particular verse that says exactly that, but the concept, the idea is there. We talked about it on Bible study. Y'all come, we'll pick it up. John 15:19 says, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you, God says. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad God chose me. I chose you to come out of the world. And because of that, the world hates you. They hate a Bible-believing Christian. They talk about Christianity is just another religion. I beg your difference. It ain't about religion, it's about relationship.
That's right.
It ain't just a religion.
That's
it ain't a religion. It's about relationship.
Yeah.
My sheep,
they
know me.
Yeah.
And I know them.
Yeah.
They follow me.
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Let me give you these three things to hold on to. These three ways to handle life's pressures. First of all, y'all want to get this. Keep your focus on God. Y'all better get this. Out there, if you want to deal properly with the pressures that are coming upon you and that you're dealing with today, keep your focus on God. Where you see that? Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all, that's everybody, who trust in you. All, that's everybody, whose thoughts are fixed on you.
Yeah.
I can't make it no more clear.
Yeah.
You want to deal with the pressures in your marriage,
yeah.
Pressures on your job,
yeah.
Pressures with your your neighbors,
yeah.
Pressures in the church.
Yeah.
Keep your focus
yeah.
on God.
Yeah.
But then there's another one. Can I give you? There's only three. Can I give you one more? Don't lose sight of your identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know who you are
yeah.
and whose you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I right about it? You got to know who you belong to. There's so much more in there, but we don't have it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. NLT says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Transformation has taken place. I'm being transformed. Y'all got to come to Bible study because I tell you it's a process for sanctification. You just don't stop right away and you're done. I ain't gonna give away the answer. I know who I am and whose I am. Psalms 139:13 says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will, here we go, praise you, for I am, here we go, fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. You got to deal with pressure right. But there's one last thing. Not only keep your focus on God, I hope you're taking the notes. Don't lose sight of your identity. But thirdly and lastly, and I'm closing, you got to know that power under pressure produces hope. It produces hope. When you think it is all wrong, God says, I'm trying to help you to give you more hope. Because the hope that you forget is when you find out when I was sinking. Deep in sin.
That's right.
Far from the peaceful shore.
Very
deeply stained within. Sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea. He heard my despair cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Handle your pressure. Give it over to God. Know who you are, and then give him praise. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. As we rest on our feet.